Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. For those of you just joining us, we just finished the amazing interview of Constantine Salomé, Group Chief Executive Officer of Algarere Investments. There were so many takeaways there. He talked about the importance of education. He went, he did his undergrad in King's College. He got his master's from MIT and an MBA from Stanford, and picked up by Hewlett Packard. Led greenfield operations all over the world before jumping into leadership roles in family businesses in the Middle East. Today, leading the Algarere group of businesses, which is just phenomenally huge. But he had some really good takeaways. You know, when you looked at one of the big themes that he talked about was linking to your roots. You know, that sense of identity, who you are, where you came from, and where you're going. That sense of gratitude of the work that you do, and making sure that you understand who you are, you're going, and I think he also touched on, you know, that related in a sense to a sense of strategy, and that you don't want to diversify too far. Stick to your core, and if you do have a few other things going on, make sure those are all related to your core business and create that synergy. So 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2; maybe it equals 11 in that case. You know, and I think some of the key takeaways, he talked about the five dimensions that he qualifies leaders against and holds himself accountable to. Number one was the strategic thinking, the visionary thinking, the ability to be innovative, think out of the box. Dimension two is understanding your stakeholders, or what I call organizational impact, the ability to communicate and influence those that are the critical holders of your business. Dimension three, team building, hiring, your ability to hire top talents, to retain top talents, and to build a cohesive team. And dimension four is getting that team to execute. Dimension five was being a change catalyst, and the importance of being agile in the new environment, that change is the only constant. And then without agility, you really can't be competitive. These were some of the key takeaways. But we have another titan of business with us here, a man who really built a $200 million business up from scratch. Amazing. 2001, his company didn't exist. Today, they have over 4,000 employees and are operating in 9 different countries. His name is Faisal Hussain. He's a chief executive officer of Synchron. Let's hear a little bit more about his background.
This is Eye on Careers. Executive CV.
As the founder and CEO of Synchron, Faisal Hussain is responsible for providing the vision, overall leadership, and driving sales for the organization. Mr. Hussain started Synchron in 2001 after quitting a prestigious job at Merrill Lynch, where he was responsible for setting up their outsourcing practice for the e-commerce and fixed income teams. Faisal's previous first-hand experience with outsourcing vendors showed him how to improve upon the average business model. He has enabled Synchron to carve a niche for itself in a short time, based on its technical expertise and domain-focused approach. Armed with 14 years of work experience as a Wall Street technologist and a hands-on approach in IT services delivery, Faisal Hussain is regarded as a prodigy in the industry. Faisal holds a Bachelor of Technology degree in Aeronautical Engineering and a Master of Science degree in Computer Science.
Well, Faisal, welcome to Eye on Careers.
It is a pleasure, an honor, and a privilege to be here. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. I understand you literally just got off a plane, or?
A few hours ago, yes. Traveling is a big part of my life, so it's the usual for me.
Yeah, so I think we got a few stats wrong there. You're actually in 12 countries, is
correct?
It?
Correct.
And over 5,000 employees now.
Close to 5,000 people, yes.
So how many people are you hiring a month?
We probably hire close to 100 people a month globally.
Yeah. Wow, that's unbelievable growth. Yeah. So you must have, how big is your recruitment team? You just must have like a...
We have close to a 50-person recruitment team globally.
Wow.
Probably more than that, yeah.
So it's this is a high-performance organization.
It is a very fast-moving, very high-growth, very dynamic, very global organization. So it's enough to keep me busy for a while, yes.
So, you know, did you know you were going to be an entrepreneur? Like when
Never.
You were back in high school, you
Never.
Weren't the kid with the lemonade stand?
Never. No. Neither did I nor anyone who knew me. If you knew me 25 years ago, you would be shocked to see where I am today. But just goes to show you how diverse life can be and how you should be open to opportunities that come your way.
Yes. So what were you like? But you must have gotten good grades, right? Were you like a brain?
Absolutely not.
No?
Absolutely not.
No way.
No. I have to be very honest. I barely made it.
No way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Come on.
I know. Yeah, you know, yeah, yeah.
But how you can't get into like companies like Merrill Lynch? If you what university did you go to?
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. I graduated with a bachelor's in aeronautics, and then I did my master's
from which
in computer
school,
science. Bachelor's was from College of Aeronautics in New York City.
Okay.
And master's was from Pace University, again in New York City.
Yes. Okay, yeah. So you weren't, barely made it. I mean, come on.
Well, it's not MIT or Stanford, so it's not in that league. But I was average academically. Yeah, I was average. Yeah.
Top quartile average. So I guess you were hanging out with some really smart kids then if you didn't think you... But okay, so you weren't the top of the class.
No.
And there wasn't really anything you felt overly special. And then you get into kind of the high street banking in Manhattan.
Yes. Because there were a few key traits that have served me well over time. One is that I'm extremely, extremely passionate about what I do. It just consumes me entirely. Whenever I did any job or any work, it was not a 9-to-5 thing. It was the purpose that I had in life at that point in time. And when you have such a drive and such a passion to deliver, you go places, you succeed, and you get noticed.
So you had the passion, you had the fire, but not early on. Did this fire slowly get stoked as you matured?
No, I think that fire came into being the moment I started working. When I finished my studies and got out of the classroom, which was very thankful, and started to do real work and get my hands dirty, that's where the passion kicked in.
You're like, we can get paid for this. You don't get gold stars anymore. There's no more stickers. I get cash.
Yeah, I do much better outside the classroom than I ever did inside.
And then it was game on.
It was game on, yeah. So extremely passionate, extremely dedicated to my work. Always looked at pleasing my my superiors, my managers. I was always there 10 minutes before them, and I always left 10 minutes after. That was very challenging when one of my managers used to come in at 6:30 in the morning, but I still used to beat him.
Really? 6:30?
Yeah, he starts at 6:30. His first meeting would be 7 o'clock, and I would be there at 6:20. So those are some traits that I used to compensate sort of the lack of, a gold-plated education.
And come on, you have a good education, and it's not like those are also excellent schools. When you look at, first your ambition, was to become head of the IT department, or because it's just an interesting dynamic the way confidence and ambition plays together.
Yes. But I never set targets for myself that I wanted to be head of the IT department. I just wanted to be the best at what I do. And once you set that bar and you compete, but you only compete with yourself, that has been a philosophy I had. I think if you start competing with others, that's a more negative way of approaching it. If you keep competing with yourself and raising your own bar, eventually you will become amongst the best and you will be recognized and you will be promoted to the top.
So how long were you working? How much of your life did you spend as an employee before you?
I had worked for about 7 or 8 years.
Seven or eight years,
and then just got bitten by the entrepreneurial bug. Discovered the world of IT services, consulting, and outsourcing. Fell in love with it. Fell in love with the global nature of it. Fell in love with the idea of attempting to start something on my own, along with two friends who joined me in this journey, and see how far we could go. We did not have a business plan on paper. It was just an idea and a romance, honestly, in the early days. But we did the basics right. We quit our jobs. We put in,
quit your job.
Yeah, quit your job. Don't try to do your job and be an entrepreneur at the same time. That's a very big advice I have. Don't try to have it both ways.
This is the Middle East, though. I mean, everybody has a job and two businesses on the side. This seems to be the norm.
No, if you do it, jump in with both feet and
because you can't grow. You can't grow to 5,000 people in 12 countries in less than, you know, I don't know how fast you did it if you have a day job. It's all encompassing, right?
It's all encompassing. It make it the purpose of your life.
But love was in the air, but as they say, no finance, no romance. So did you have to get funding? Should you get funding? Did you do the private equity play?
No, we did not. We did not go out for funding. We started in 2001, which was just when the bubble was bursting. So even if we wanted to get financing, it would have been pretty tough. But we decided that we didn't need it. One of the founders, put in $8,000 from their savings into the business, which was used to procure machines. The whole $8,000. $8,000.
What did you put in?
I put
you
sweat
took
equity.
His money, huh? You're like, hey, pass me that cash.
Absolutely.
That's
which
not
we repay.
Much like in no, man, in Manhattan like, you can get no. you like lunch can cost you 8,000 at some places.
Depends
right?
on where you go. Not where I go, but maybe where you go.
No, Shane. But like really you say I don't get to go to Manhattan, unfortunately. But you know, really what's 8,000 gonna
Nothing.
Get you?
It just
you get
bought
your
us
stationery
a few computers.
And
yeah.
you're done.
Yeah, just a couple of computers. We
you
really
got,
bootstrapped.
You got two laptops.
Two laptops,
and
yeah.
that was it. That like was literally, it.
That was some business cards to be printed. And some
and you guys are like, oh, we have to register. You're checking the couch for extra change, and you're going down there, and that's
that
it.
Was pretty much it. Yeah, that was pretty much. We had what I call a 4-person office, which was the 4 sides of a table. Each person took one side, and that was it. And it, you know, extremely humble beginnings.
Were
even
you married
this
at this
day,
time? Were you?
Yes, I was. I was newly married.
Your wife works, or
no? She's a full time supporter of.
Did she think you're crazy? You're like working in like one of the top brands, and you're like, guess what? I quit, and I took. $8,000, and
she
we're
was
going
equally
for.
Excited and very supportive.
Really,
of me, it makes it much easier when you have the family supporting you. So she was fully behind
really
us.
In the air now.
We've been married close to 16 years now. And
wow,
it's a great story. It's the other success I have in life.
Congratulations! So you take this leap, and what's the first contract you get? But before you answer that, we're just going to take a quick break. So if you want to hear how Faisal Hussain started this $200 million plus business, you're just going to have to stay with us. This is the story of Faisal Hussain, the Chief Executive Officer of Synchron. Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm here with Faisal Hussain. For those of you who don't know the name, this was a guy who took $8,000 and a couple laptops back in 2001. And he said, maybe I'll just build a $200 million company with 5,000 employees operating in 12 countries, because that's what he did. He's the Chief Executive Officer of Synchron. Faisal, welcome to Eye on Careers.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you here, and you know that's such an amazing story when you look at it, and people think that, you know, it doesn't happen, but it's happening more and more every, you know, I think they're becoming acquiring wealth is becoming easier than it ever has.
I think there are more success stories. I think when you hear about other people succeeding, it encourages you, and the more that people succeed, the more inspiration it gives to others. So I think, yes, in terms of wealth, I do have a different view of that. Wealth and money have never been a motivator for me. The reason I started Synchron with my two friends was not to make money. It was to do something that I truly enjoyed. And I think if you do that, the wealth, the money will come eventually. But it's not the primary driver for me.
Yeah, I think I was listening to some of your stuff online, and you were basically saying that it's more about creating the best company that you can.
Yes.
And that the money's a byproduct of something much larger than the financial model.
Yes. If you do it that way, it's much more sustainable. If you just do it for the finances, the top line and the bottom line, you may achieve that, but it won't be sustainable. If you really develop a product or a service that you are trying to make it the best in the industry, by whichever way, whether it's quality or price or customer service or engineering, whatever dimension that you're playing on, you will get rewarded for that, and you have to be confident on that.
So do you use different KPIs and a total different set? Because, you know, the bottom line driven company has your margins, your this or everything else, going on, like every month, how much money should I have, this, how much sales. Do you have, what kind of different metrics does the, empathetic organization or emotionally intelligent organization use?
It is customer satisfaction. It is the results that we deliver to our clients. How successful are we in the work that we're delivering, in the work product? How satisfied are our clients? Because that's really the end goal. How happy are the employees? Because without having happy employees, you can't really do the work that your company needs to do. So it's really customer satisfaction and the success of the results that we deliver, and how satisfied our employees are.
So you're subscribing to the approach that happier employees perform better.
Absolutely. How else would you do it?
Right. Yeah. Because there's actually a lot. A couple of professors set out, and you know, they were subscribing to this, right? Because it makes logical sense. And so they went and they did a study, and they looked at the highest paid people in their professions. And they found that it was actually asymmetrical, that actually some of these people who are earning absolutely phenomenal amounts of money, they are literally in the top 0.1% of their profession salary-wise, are absolutely miserable. And they have higher incidence of substance abuse. They had a higher incidence of suicide. And in fact, they dominated this, what they call the hedonistic treadmill.
Yeah.
That, you know, yeah. If you have one Rolls Royce, okay, maybe you're happier. But, you know, when you get to the point where you can buy 20.
What is the meaning of life after that?
You just lost the plot, yeah. Maybe. And these people are just, maybe they have like a neurosis.
Isn't that sad? It just goes to show you that money can't buy happiness.
Right.
And if a lot of people in today's world get caught in that and get caught in our materialistic approach, and when you work all your life and you achieve that, you suddenly realize that that's not what makes you happy. You know, there are other things in life. People lose their health. People get substance abuse. People end up with broken families. No matter how much money you end up making in life, it's not worth any of those.
So yeah, I think you said money can buy a house, but not a home.
There you go.
And yeah. It's quite interesting. But I think at the end of the day, you know, money doesn't make you happy, but it sure does make you happier.
No, I would disagree with that. But
no?
Somebody once said,
"Come on."
Well, somebody once said that before you start saying things like this, make sure you have enough money in your bank to be able to say.
Yeah, easy for you to say. Yeah. Easy for you to say.
You know, it's but happiness is much more than money. People just connect the two directly, but it's much more than that.
So what's been the biggest challenge that you've faced through everything you've done? Has there ever been a moment where you just didn't want to get out of bed? Was there a moment where you're like, wow, we're never going to get that $8,000 back?
No, I don't think there was ever a moment. And partly that is because myself and most entrepreneurs are generally very positive people. The glass is always half full. You know, tomorrow will always be better than today, no matter how good or bad today is. So I think if you have that fundamental approach, if you always have a smile on your face, the disappointments will be there, the failures will be there, but they can actually serve as motivations. And for me as an individual, that is what happened.
Is what? What was the biggest challenge?
The biggest challenge in the early days was when you were going and asking for work and soliciting work, and you have a new company, it's a startup, and startups were tainted that time. You know, finding the people who would take the risk and bring you on and try you on. For every probably 20 customer sales visits that we went to, we maybe found one or two people that may consider us. And for every one or two people who considered us, we may get a small project. So those were very early days. Today we are a fairly large company. We have a strong track record. We have a strong corporate resume, so we can go and fight and win business. But in the 5 or 6 years in the starting, it was very tough.
Oh yeah, like 6 years of tough time, right?
Yes. Wow. We started the business in 2001, pre 9/11, just as the dot-com bubble was bursting. But in hindsight, I think that's the right time to start a business and to go out and hunt for business. If you start a business in boom times, business is possible. It's perhaps maybe even easy to get. You don't learn to live through tough times. So starting the business in a recession, in hindsight, was actually very good.
It was forced you to be more strategic, right? You were forced to question yourself. But what was the first contract you won? What was the first piece of business that you got?
We won a $200,000 U.S. Project from one of my ex-employers called Dun & Bradstreet. That was really our launching project. And that we were smart enough, if you ask what was one of the things that we strategized about, is we reached out to enough people that we had worked with or worked for, told them about our plans, and asked, you know, would you be able to consider us for business? And they said, sure, we know you individually, you have a new business, we'll trust you, you know, and we leveraged.
So it's your old employer.
Correct.
Was the first.
Correct. So Merrill Lynch was one of our earlier customers, and so was Dun & Bradstreet.
Those are not bad brands to have as your first. That builds your credence. But what was the exactly the first project you did? Like, what was the
product? It was a development of an e-commerce transaction system for Dun & Bradstreet. So a lot of software needed to be created. As any startup, the founders were part of the sales team, the part of the project management, part of the development team, the people who wrote the code. So you did everything, and then you delivered it to the client. We hired a few people along with us to help us, but it was everything. You do the selling, you do the building, you do the delivery, you fix the issues. It was the whole cycle.
You have to do the graphic design of the invoice. Like you do that first one, you're like,
yes,
hey, we have to send an invoice. We don't have one. You have to, it's like it takes you like 4 hours,
and we did a fairly decent job in those early days. That we only just recently changed the graphic design of the invoice for the company.
Oh, really? It's like a piece of art. This is not an invoice. It should hang in the Louvre.
And it was sad to see it go because it has such an emotional tie to me. That you know, but that's how you evolve.
So your first 5 or 6 years, you guys weren't rolling in dough.
No, I would say even 7 or 8 years, and very, very lean, and just one project after the other. If you look at our growth chart, it's really been really a hockey stick growth. So the first, we're now almost completing 13 years in business. The first 8, 9 years, I would say, we're very lean. You know.
Really, yeah? Yeah. You like didn't you guys? You so like, what were the revenues like? Like, can you just give us a, you know, what was the? Can you? I think you have. I think you posted this on the web anyway.
Yeah,
you're looking at me like that.
We're very transparent about our numbers, even though we are a private company. But I see no sense in being secretive about it. The first year we had less than $300,000 in revenue. Second was $2 million, then 2.8. 5.6.
For four guys, I mean, you guys are not roughing it on $2.8 million gross.
But that's not, at that point, it was not four guys. It was probably 20 to 25 people at that point. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we started hiring very quickly. Yeah.
But you're getting a decent salary with that kind
No. It was cheese and macaroni for the first 6 or 7 years for us.
Really?
Yeah. It was.
Like, what was your take-home pay year two or year three?
So let me start with what was my take-home pay before starting the business.
Yeah, right? I think, this is more interesting than your revenue. That's it.
My take-home pay before starting my business, before starting Synchron, was $300,000 in those days.
Hello.
Yes. And my take-home business for the first, my take-home income, sorry, for the first 7 years after starting Synchron was between $60,000 and $70,000 US.
And you guys get taxed, right, on that?
Oh, so, of course, yeah.
So what was your, after your tax, how much is that?
It would be less than $50,000 US.
Ouch. And you're living in Manhattan on that?
We're living in New Jersey.
Okay.
Yes.
And you had kids with that?
We just had our first baby.
Oh, now, because you can't have kids on that. And, and the wife, unless you make your wife work.
No, she's a full-time mom.
Okay. Yes.
But it was, you know, in many ways, it was an incredible period. She supported me, the family supported me. Like I said, we were very happy with $300,000 income. We were very happy with $60,000 or $70,000 income, and we're still very happy today. Money has not affected that.
Wow, that's amazing. So it took 7, 8 years, and then what happened? That was that catalyst.
Then we caught the housing boom in the U.S., the mortgage boom that happened, you could say, from 2005 to 2008 or 2009. We rode that wave both up and down. you can say. When that bubble burst, again, things became very interesting for us. But somehow we managed to persevere. We, even through 2008 and 2009, we grew 25%. That was our leanest period. In 2009, 2010, we grew 60%. We came out of it very, very strong. 80% of our business, even till this day, comes from the U.S. So we are very, very dependent on the U.S. market.
And did you know, I guess prior to you hitting that growth spurt, you know, did you spend a lot of time building the foundations, the structures, your HR, your IT, your accounting systems, your billing systems? But before you answer that, we're going to get the answer of that. This is the story of Faisal Hussain, Chief Executive Officer of Synchron. He's really giving the insights on how you build a $200 million business from scratch. You may want to keep listening. Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we have one of the biggest success stories here in the studio with us, a man by the name of Faisal Hussain. And his name's Faisal Hussain. He's the Chief Executive Officer of Synchron. Faisal, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
So did I get this right? Is this one of your favorite songs?
Pani, yeah.
This is it.
Which one?
Is this it?
Yes, it's a Bollywood song. Yes, absolutely. I'm like most Indians, I love Bollywood and cricket. And this is it. Yes, it's
right.
Called Pani Pani.
To all those Bollywood lovers out there, this is for you. So Pani Pani. So you'll be cruising down Sheikh Zayed later with this, with Pani
this,
Pani
yeah.
playing.
I'll
be
yes.
like, all right.
Yes.
Soon I will have 10,000 employees. No, it's amazing the growth, though. It's such amazing growth. For anybody out there who wants to ask Faisal a question, just SMS us at 4001. And so I was just asking you, because you basically struggled for 6 or 7, 8 years, and then all of a sudden you have this exponential growth rate, 60% plus growth. I was just saying, did you really make an effort to spend the time and create that infrastructure, your IT, your accounting systems, your HR systems? It was having a strong shared services internally critical for you achieving that growth?
Absolutely. For the growth that we have gone through, we couldn't have done it without those supporting groups and systems. And our strategy for doing that was to go hire experts in each of those fields and empower them to build that. Because I'm not an HR expert. I'm not a finance expert. I'm really a software engineer by trade. So rather than do it myself, I went out and interviewed and found the right people who we brought on, and they did it.
So you basically waited until the revenue was coming in, and then you invested and kind of built the overnight.
Yeah, we did one by one. So at different stages of the company, we felt one was more important than the other. For example, in the beginning, we invested heavily in our systems and our IT infrastructure, because we are a technology company. We have to be bulletproof when it comes to security. Then we invested in HR and recruitment, because we started to grow. We needed people. And a couple of years ago, we invested in a very strong finance and CFO team. And more recently, we invested in a marketing team. So at different stages, we have focused on different things. You don't have to do everything in one shot.
Right. Okay. So, at the beginning, though, the biggest emphasis was on service delivery.
Absolutely, making a rock solid service delivery organization, because you know, customer satisfaction comes from that, and that is something that I personally champion, again, because that is my trade. Software engineering is my trade, so I was the lead for that, and continue to be the lead till today.
Well, nobody comes on the show without being asked our infamous question, what's your secret to success?
Eye on Careers now reveals the secrets to success.
So, Faisal, what's your secret to success?
I think there's still a lot more success ahead of us, but if you were to ask me what has gotten us to this point, I would say the ability to dream. To be able to envision something that that you work towards. If you are not a dreamer, it becomes difficult to motivate yourself. Once you have dreams become thoughts become actions, and action eventually generate results. Followed by that, I think you should be passionate. You shouldn't do something just because somebody's asking you to do it or because it's your job. You should really do it because you enjoy it. If you find something that you do, a profession where you enjoy it, you will go much further. Apart from that, having a very strong sense of ethics and integrity has been key. I often like to say that my handshake is much more powerful than any contract that anybody can get me to sign. Once I give my word, I stick to it. And people then recognize you for that over time, and your customers know that they can rely on you. Being people friendly, I think being humane is extremely important. My success is more to my people skills than it is to my business skills. Having empathy is extremely important. So those are some of the things I would say have led to my success.
Eye on Careers.
In association with LeMoon.com, jobs, courses, and all things career.
Well, Faisal, that was pretty interesting. I love how you said it starts with dreams and dreams lead to thoughts. But I just wanted to add to that. Some people may not realize that when a thought has actually made your dream a reality, because a thought is electrical synapses and chemical receptors in your brain, and actual neurons are moving, and so that thought has now been manifested in physical reality. It has actually changed molecules mm-hmm. in physical reality from your fantasy.
Very true.
And so it's a thought changes reality right away, physical reality immediately.
And that's why your frame of your mind, positive or negative, has a big impact on your on the quality of your life.
Here's a question from the audience here. Kindly advise us, how did you manage the pressure of thoughts which scare you to close the business, or about your years of struggling? Were there ever questions of doubt, or did you just like blast pani and go for it?
Actually, yes, music did play a part. Sometimes when you have a rough day and things are not going well, my solution to that was to blast some very upbeat music, some bhangra or some very pick-me-up type of music. Absolutely, music can change your mindset. No, thankfully, we never reached a point where we said, is it time to close down? Whether you call it luck, whether you call it what we did, whatever it was, it's been a fantastic ride so far.
So you never felt like quitting?
No.
Never?
Never.
You're like, this macaroni cheese is great.
This is.
I never want.
I'm happy.
Really?
As long as you're happy, you can keep going. As long as the dreams are alive, you can keep going.
I think it's like only 5% of the population's happy. Like 95% of us are just like drinking coffee and we'll be like, oh, this job sucks and this traffic sucks. Or you think?
I think you should.
Maybe it's just,
It's some of it is society now. We measure a lot of our happiness somehow by the materialistic things that we own, and if it's relative success now. It's relative wealth or relative poverty, and if you start benchmarking yourself to others and the other person has something that you don't, that makes you unhappy. It's sad. It's sad. I think as you grow old in life, you learn that success and happiness comes from how strong your family is, how strong your friends are, how well your health is, rather than how much you have in the bank.
Right. Yeah, I think Sir Martin Sorrell said, they were like, aren't you happy now? He's like, your company's $16 billion. And he's like, yeah, but I want it to be $100 billion. Look at the next guy. His company's $80 billion.
Relative poverty, yeah?
Relative poverty. That's an interesting term. What's your last bit of advice here as we close the show?
I think, first, thank you for having me on this show. Again, it's... be a dreamer. And if you have something in your mind that you have been harboring, starting a business, do it. Give it a shot. We said we'll give it 2 years, and if it didn't work out, we'll come back and get decent jobs. It won't be the end of life. Be a risk taker. Don't hesitate to take risk. And be passionate about the work you do.
Great. Well, Faisal, thank you so much for coming. And I don't know what could be more inspiring than a guy who built a company from scratch to the size it is now. Where can we go to contact you?
The best place is our website, www.synechron.com. That's spelled S-Y-N-E-C-H-R-O-N. We are located in Media City.
And he hires 100 people a month. So thanks again. Hopefully we can have you out soon.
Thank you for having me.
So that was the amazing story of Faisal Hussein, Chief Executive Officer of Synchron. Huge success story. Went from zero to over $200 million in gross revenue and more than 5,000 employees in over 12 countries. That's it for this episode of Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, wishing you luck chasing your dream. No matter what it is, go for it, because dreams do come true. So see you next on our next episode, and have a great time, Dubai.